Welcome to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly.
Amazon like thinks that it's like, it might be time to reorder a gray coat slim fit. Like, Amazon's confused. Amazon thinks like
subscription status.
Yeah, literally.
And Liz.
God, you want to talk about inconsistency? Forget about the JBF sale. It is animal gestation periods.
Your mom time off starts now.
Welcome back to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly
and Liz.
Happy
Tuesday.
Did I wake up and brush my teeth at my new home?
Kel, I hope so. We don't know if she did or not because we're recording this on Thursday, but how exciting. I mean, this has been such a long thing, but like once you're ready, it kind of feels like it happens overnight.
The thing is, it's like we've actually bought the place in September.
Yeah.
It's April. It's giving year.
But when you guys did buy it in September and I saw it in September and you were like, yeah, we'll probably be in by like March, April. I was like, you're crazy. I couldn't ever imagine it. And now I totally can and I love it and it's beautiful.
Well, to be fair, because when we originally bought it, we thought we would do the addition before we moved in.
Yeah.
And then we realized we need to sell our house first.
Yeah.
So, and just like the kids, and we're fine. The kids are fine. Everyone's fine. Mm-hmm. So, but like the thing is, it's like we still have a long way to go because we do still have an addition to do. Like as soon as we get moved in, it's like, We have contractors and architects to start the addition.
But that's exciting too.
Well, and that won't affect my life because the good part about like, I mean, like truly just doing like a wing of children's bedrooms is like they're going to build the children's bedrooms and then one day they're going to connect it.
Yeah, they're like connecting it through a window that's pre-existing. So they'll just like take the window out, cut, you know.
And do some little caulking.
And then it'll be ready to go. And that is how building works. It's really as simple as that.
I don't know what everyone's complaining about. It doesn't seem so hard.
No, I know.
No, but hopefully we're in. I don't know. It's we've just got some things we're still working on. Like the stove isn't set up. We don't have the plumbing in the kitchen done. So like even though like the kitchen's finished, it's like I'm not going to like go in with like out running water in the kitchen.
No, you have to wait for that.
And yeah. And what's like going to drive Tyler crazy, he keeps saying, he's like, the second like you guys are all living here, then like I'll be at our old house like getting that thing ready to sell.
Yeah, I know. Like,
then he just flips.
I know.
And he goes and backs and fixes our old house up.
Yeah.
But that won't take nearly as long.
No. Not a big project at all. So anyway, exciting updates from the Stumpies.
Yeah, exciting updates. My joint pain's actually feeling a lot better.
That's good.
You know, you never know if it's just like it was going to get better or you did something. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just how life goes, though?
Yeah. You never know.
It's just how life goes. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. We're fine.
Fine and good?
Fine and good. And that's not a bad way. That's just fine and good and dandy and nothing to complain about.
Okay, good. Well, we have an exciting, like jam-packed exciting episode. So hopefully turn that fine and good and turn it to great and amazing.
Yeah.
On today's episode, we have no words. Use what you have.
Yeah.
What you got. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to do last three transactions.
Fun.
We're going to do dumps.
Do you have gestation period?
I have George's industry news.
George's industry news.
I have other industry news.
Okay.
And I have Ditch the Drive.
Okay. So we and book recap.
And our book recap. I finished The Boys in the Boat. And I finished it. And I have a lot of thoughts. And I've watched the movie. And I'm ready.
Yeah, Kelly was like asking me a question about it. She's like, but didn't... Because I watched the movie too, obviously, after reading it. And she's like, but didn't this happen? And I was like, no, this happened. And she's like, no, I think you're wrong. And I'm like, I don't know. I finished the book a month ago.
Yeah, well, that's true. So anyway, stay tuned to the end of the episode if you read A Boys in the Boat. If you didn't read it and you just want to act like you read it, I think we'll be able to like cover a lot of bases and basically tell you what happened and what you need to know to have an intelligent conversation.
Okay, Kel, well, let's get into our last three transactions where we
share
our bank account subtractions. I can never remember what that word is.
Subtractions?
No, share.
Oh, okay.
I'll go first. I just made a transaction before this, a Lululemon transaction. I got myself another pair of Lululemon Aligns because they're the only pregnancy leggings I'm interested in. And I also ordered Maddie a pair of pants. Because if you don't know, guys, if you have a tall husband, my husband's 6'5", he has a very hard time finding pants that have a 36 inseam. Lululemon's pants for men have a 37 inseam, if you didn't know. So Maddie likes the ABC classic fit in 37 inseam.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
I love to see it.
Yeah, Lululemon haul.
I got a Nuna Pippa car seat.
Ooh, is that an infant seat?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to use?
I think so. I mean, who knows? I'll probably use like a multitude of different seats, yeah. But I use the Upbaby Mesa for George, and then I use the Kleckling for Hattie and Fred. I don't own any Nuna car seats for no reason other than like, I just have never bought one.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when I'm buying them for the, I mean, they're expensive. So they're expensive and, you know, I had bought Klex for my personal car, like to fit the three across. And like now I've transitioned to doing like other three. Now like I buy a specific type of seats to test in multiple different cars. And I like to test the seats that either have like the best clearance or are the slimmest because I'm trying to show like the best combinations of things that could work.
Yeah.
And the Nunas are really good seats, but like they're not winning like slim fit awards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to have it. I'm excited to try it. And I found out since I'm a tech, I get a discount.
Yeah, that's huge.
Which of course I do.
Which you've been buying so many car seats.
Because I just buy a lot of my own car seats because I just, I mean, I've been sent a few with promises of nothing because I don't really work with car seat manufacturers or car brands. You know, it's just like not part of our MO. But I've been paying full price for them. So much so that like Amazon like thinks it's like, it might be time to reorder a Graco Slim Fit. Like Amazon's confused. Amazon thinks like.
Subscription status.
Yeah, literally. So anyway, that's something new and exciting for
okay,
me.
Well, I'm not going to share everything I got, but we went to the Just Between Friends sale here in St. Louis. And wow, I got a lot of stuff.
Tell people what it is if they don't
okay,
know.
Okay, so Just Between Friends, it is like, they're all over the country, but it is like secondhand consignment. It is just basically a warehouse. I think it was at an ice skating rink, similar to the auto show. Just full of secondhand baby clothes, books, shoes, accessories, toys, like literally everything you could possibly imagine. So Kelly and I went together and I needed to buy a lot of new to me stuff because Kelly gave me a lot of her baby stuff. So well, I like didn't register for a swing. Yeah. I didn't register for a bouncer. Like there was a lot
Fred
of-
and George worked out where it's like with being 5 months apart, like
Fred and James.
Yeah, like they were just like Fred was done with his jumper and right when James was ready for it.
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to buy a lot. So I got like some clothes for James. I got some clothes for baby girl. Got some toys for James. And I got a four moms swing, which James loved yours, Kelly, that I need to get back to you. But I got one for $50 in great condition. It was clean. It looked nice. It was missing one of the little balls, but yours was missing the balls entirely.
Yeah, where are my balls?
So I like didn't really care. And those are like what? Like $300?
Yeah, those are very expensive.
Or $200? I don't know how much they are, but they're expensive. And I got it for $50.
I'm not trying to be that girl, but like if you're buying a new jumper or baby swing, wake up.
Hmm.
Be more sustainable. They are a dime. I bet if someone gave me a dime, I could buy 12 of them. They are truly what that's what I mean. When I say a dime a dozen. A jumper on Facebook Marketplace. People are like, just take it.
The thing with the JBF sale, though, is that's like some it's like a lot of people bring it and then you can price your own. And then if it sells, like you get a commission, you get like 60% or 40% or whatever of the item that you brought. So prices were all over the place. There would be the same product for $2. And then someone else is trying to sell it for $11. Like it was all over the place. And so the jumper that I wanted, someone was selling for $60. And like it was clean. Like don't get me wrong, but like it didn't look brand new.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm gonna hold off and try and find one on Marketplace.
It is interesting. There's a strategy. Some people just don't know garage sale pricing. They think it's Poshmark.
Yeah.
They think it's, you know, retail.
Yeah. They think it's half off even. And it's just, it's not. It's dollars.
If I was I mean if you can get it, you can get it. So and some people will fall into this trap, but the thing is it's like just don't pay for it because someone will sell you a jumper for $10. Mm-hmm. The four mom swing I feel like was good, but that has power. That's like you plug it in.
No, that's not nice. Really good.
A jumper, $10. You know what? I'd give you mine for free.
No, you know, and I actually did buy something that was overpriced and I didn't, it was at like early in the sale. So it was after we kind of put it together that things are priced inconsistently. And I needed a mirror for the back of Maddie's car. And we like the Skip Hop one.
Because it's the one I recommend.
It's the one you recommend because it's the safest. And so it's $30 on Amazon, whereas you can get other ones on Amazon for $10. So there was one Skip Hop one. Mirror's a little scratched up. And they were selling it for $12.50. But I was like, but that's still cheaper than the $30. And then, you know, I'm reusing something else. So that's the thing that I do feel like could have been, because then the other ones in the bin were $2, $1, but they were the originally $10 ones. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that, I don't know. What do you think? $12.50 for a $30 product? That was,
well, I,
they kind of got me there.
I had a bad too, because I was looking for, what are those? You know, those like little tyke swings?
Yes.
So we have one, but at our new house, I want to have one by the barn and one by the pool, because mm-hmm. I just think it'll be the perfect thing to like throw foreign. Like, I just mm-hmm. think like she'll thrive with that. And they had one there and it was pink, which is like fine because I'm having a girl, but I didn't want it. This pink one sells on Amazon for $29 and I bought it for $14.
Yeah. And that one looks pretty worn too.
I know.
That, yeah.
But I still save money.
But you still save money.
I save money.
It's not the consumerism. Yeah. But then there were other things that I got. It was like $2. Like,
I bought George an entire bag of sea animals for $1.
Yeah.
Someone was like looking to get rid of them.
Yeah. So it's so inconsistent.
Patty got a Ralph Lauren dress for $4, but then I got Fred a Ralph Lauren shirt for $7, which was just like,
yeah. It's confusing. But I got a lot of good stuff from there.
Okay. Worth going to, worth looking up.
Is that your other transaction that you're
going
to talk
about?
It wasn't
going to be, but I'm happy to just kind of wrap it into that.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought a little tyke swing because I just want to have, I think like what's going to be hard at my new house is like we're just going to be such outside people. And like even Fred, it's like so hard to have. Like Fred needs to be a better walker.
Yeah.
So I just want to have a lot of places to put four outside.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that'll be my last one. So go ahead. Back to you.
Oh, gosh, I like haven't really been transacting. I'm ordering James some new clothes because he's, you know, he's out of the 9 months and we're heading to 12, 18. So I'm buying him new clothes and it's like really gets expensive every time you have to like replenish your child's wardrobe.
Well, you need to be hitting up once upon a child.
Yeah. And I just get so, and I mean, I should have really done that at this sale. I just get,
you get
so overwhelmed. Three rows of clothes. They're organized. It's like, this is a swim section, this is a top section, but like I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know how to dig through it. I'm not a good thrifter of clothes.
Can I give you some advice?
Please.
Okay, so one, I think it's about like, and this is just how I do it,
okay,
but like we have like three levels of clothes. We have like church and nice clothes, we have like, you know, like play date, like slightly cuter clothes, and then we have babysitter outside clothes, like okay. daycare clothes, it's like you find anything, and like I keep things separate. Mm-hmm. But what I think is helpful is you need to pick a color scheme for him.
Yeah.
So then, because it's so easy to like go on Gap and be like, do the mix and match and like everything's the same color, but like that's also like that gets expensive. So like I do like navy, greens, and that's it.
I did gravitate towards red, white, and blue for him. Like everything I bought was red, white, or blue.
So just like get a lot of navy, whites, and reds. And like if you see like a red and blue shirt, then like you know it'll go with his navy pants. But like pick navy. Like that's a good neutral.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so I just think that will help you a little bit.
No, it's good tangible advice.
And it's also just like it depends what you want to buy. Like I normally buy pants at Target because I just can never like find the pants that I want. But like a t-shirt's a t-shirt.
Yeah. But, you know, like we're just now getting into t-shirt phase. Like yeah, he doesn't have any t-shirts.
I get it. Now you're in a t-shirt era.
So, yeah. Anyway, I just ordered like some stuff from Target, like random clothes for James.
Okay. Well, my last three of my transactions is someone, I guess because we talked about George a lot on the last podcast, someone messaged me and said, I absolutely have to buy this book. Who would win? Extreme Animal Rumble. He would not love this book. So I assume it's just who would win in a fight. Which dangerous animals would win in a fight? Find out in this awesome bind-up of five popular books, Who Would Win series. The collection features a range of mammals, sea creatures, and reptiles.
Is that going to be like a birthday gift or is that just like as soon as it gets in?
Oh, it's as soon as it gets in. It was $7. And
I know his birthday's coming up though.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think I want to give it to him, though. I think, like, this is, like, an educational book.
No, I get it. Yeah.
But we have these, and he also has these book called Pocket Geniuses, which he loves, these Pocket Genius books. This is also on his birthday list. He says he wants you to get him this. It's in my Amazon cart.
Oh, okay.
They're snake bracelets.
Okay, so he wants snake bracelets and also a remote control eagle that soars through the air.
You know, he's true to himself.
That's what he wants. That's what he'll get him.
And those are my last three transactions.
Okay, then that's that.
Really kid heavy. What have I bought for myself? Was anything for myself? No.
I bought Lululemon leggings. I was going to buy, you know, like while I was, because you know, you can never just buy one thing. While I was on Lululemon, I was like, maybe I should get myself like a new sweatshirt. Literally every single one of my sweatshirts has a stain on it somewhere. I can't have nice sweatshirts anymore.
No, that's okay.
We'll get back there, right?
No, not for a long, long time.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think you should buy new sweatshirts.
Yeah.
Okay, well, are you ready to play Georgia's Industry News?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to be doing... So on the last episode we did, how long do animals live for? And mm-hmm. I think everyone is still shook to their core that octopuses are only 3 to 5 years.
I know
if you read the book Remarkably Bright Creatures, though, you would know that. Because being as well-read as me, I already had that fact put back there. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to be doing animal gestation periods.
Yeah.
Because talk about things that vary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is delivered to me in days. Do you like that? Let me tell you how long are humans in days? Human?
Like 200 and...
How do you spell gestation? Gestation?
G-E-S.
Gestation period. Human gestation period. 280 days.
280.
I think that's gonna. I think you should guess in days and that'll give you good...
Okay. Okay.
Good reference. Okay.
I mean, a human has to be like the longest one.
You think?
I just feel like we're a very complicated species.
Okay, so I told you a human was what?
280 days.
Okay. What do you think? Eh, there's like so many to choose from. Like, obviously, this is like a ton. Let's do a gorilla.
Okay, gorilla, similar to humans.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I guess I'll guess low, like 230?
270.
270, okay.
Yeah, so they are right in line. Okay, what about a possum?
Ooh, okay. So we're still a mammal. So I'm thinking mammals are probably going to be... I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I'm going to say 100 days.
12.
12 days? 12 days. Could you imagine? Gosh. Yeah, okay. I guess that makes 12 more sense.
12 days is drama.
No, 12 days is drama, but also 100 days is drama.
Yeah, because they don't take... How long does it take to grow baby pods?
Yeah, I don't know. They're like not even... They're yeah.
Okay, what about a rhinoceros?
Okay, they're big. So we know possums are small and therefore they maybe have a smaller gestation period. So I think a rhino is going to be a little bit bigger. Can you tell me what the gestation period of a cow is?
281.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm like, I'm glad you have that benchmark now.
No, because I need to know, like, okay.
No, so I get it.
I'm going to say 250.
480.
480?
That's over a year.
Wow.
So we have nothing.
We have nothing to complain about. Unless you're a rhino, you can't complain about your pregnancy.
Okay, what about a pig?
60 days.
114.
I'm all over the place.
I know. You really like
can't seem to nail it.
You can't. Okay. I'm going to do two more. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to save that one for last. Okay. What do you think about a... I don't even know what some of these animals are, truthfully. What about a porcupine?
A porcupine's kind of giving possum energy. So I'm going to say 15 days.
210.
God, you want to talk about inconsistency? Forget about the JBF sale. It is animal gestation periods.
Okay, are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Last one.
Okay.
Elephant.
Oh, here we go again with the elephant. Elephant's got to be a long time. Rhino.
Well, they live for forever.
They live for forever, so they've got a lot of time to kill. A rhino was 400 days, and elephants and rhinos have, in my idea of the world, similar skin. I'm gonna say 300 days.
660 days. 660 days. That's over two, is that over 2 years?
That is like 2 years. Oh my
gosh. That's 1.8 years for an elephant.
Wow, ladies, we have nothing to complain about.
I mean, that's not true, because like we're kind of like, I mean, we're,
I mean, would I rather be a possum? Sure, maybe a little bit.
I need more than 12 days. I need, truthfully, when am I just done? When do I feel like it's too long? Let me think. I mean, I've obviously, like, I want to take as long as it can.
We have 280. I think like 200, because then you're like, I've been pregnant for 200 days and I still have 80 more to go.
No, you're right. 200 would feel good.
Yeah.
I still think it's crazy how like consistent even like we are within our own species, though, because like our bodies are all so different.
And everyone's pregnancy is so different, but it takes the same amount of time
to grow a baby. For the most part, like it's not like we're fluctuating by like, I mean, for the most part, it's not like we're fluctuating.
But like my nails grow faster than yours. Your hair grows faster than mine. Like other parts of our bodies grow faster, but the time in which it takes us to grow a baby is all the same.
It's wild, Liz.
It is wild.
A wolf is only 63 days.
Well, dogs aren't very long, so...
Yeah, how long is a dog? Dog is, 62 days. A donkey is 365. Takes a full year to cook a donk.
I do not understand this at all.
This is a fun game. Hopefully, I can't wait to get who will win. Yeah. We'll do that next.
Yeah. That will be very interesting.
I'm just obsessed. And Tyler and I keep talking about, like, what Fred's going to be into. Like, will Fred be into it? Or will Fred be more of, like, a sports guy? Or like a truck guy.
I don't think.
Will George grow out of this? I hope he never grows out of it. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah. I've never met a kid who's like so into animals like George is. Like everyone's like, oh yeah, I like dinosaurs. Like everyone kind of goes through that phase, I feel like. But George is like stuck through the phase, it seems.
And it's all animals.
I don't think Fred will be as interested.
No.
But I think that's because Fred's going to be influenced a lot through James.
Yeah, we'll see what they're into.
You know, so like I think that if James is naturally more into something, like let's say like we, because Maddie likes sports, so like if James gets more into sports because that's what Maddie's into, then maybe Fred will be more into sports, whereas like George was into animals and farms and trucks because tractors, because like that's what his dad was into, you know?
Totally.
So anyway, this is also a good thing to know, that this is a really good road trip game to just like when you're driving. I'm genuinely having a great time.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Guessing. And I'm learning stuff. So maybe just like trivia games.
Animals are fat. I love animals.
Yeah.
And if you have any other like good animal books, like please, like I really do appreciate the Rex. And then like when I told you, like this girl told me to buy it, and within 30 seconds, like I just said one time purchase. Like I did the one time button.
Yeah. Like buy now.
Buy now. Didn't even add to cart. Buy now.
Buy now.
Obsessed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money, I have been using it for a while now, and it has really helped me get all of my subscriptions in order. Never forget the time that I thought I canceled a clothing rental subscription and checked my Rocket Money app two months later and noticed that I had been paying $100 a month for clothes that I never rented. So Rocket Money has really saved my butt on stuff like that. So I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and I can see if there's something that I don't want, I can cancel it with a tap, and I never have to get on the phone with customer service. It is so easy. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/carpool. That's rocketmoney.com/carpool, rocketmoney.com/carpool.
And today's episode is brought to you by Caraway. You guys, I have never been more into my Caraway cookware because you know why, Elizabeth?
Organization.
Organization and
aesthetics.
They perfectly match my kitchen. White cabinets, gold hardware. What color are my Caraway pans?
White and gold.
White and gold. White and gold. My kitchen is, it's like the kind of thing where it's like, just leave the pot out.
Yeah.
It's making me like want to cook with them just so I can get them out there. Not only are Caraway pots and pans so beautiful, they're also non-toxic. Caraway products are made without any toxic materials like PFAs, PTFEs, PHOS, OAs, or any other hard to pronounce chemicals. So they look great. They're non-toxic,
and they're easy to clean. The ceramic naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter for slide up the pan eggs and easy cleaning. Don't just take our word for it though. They are so well loved. They have over 65,000 people rating them 5 stars. And now it's time for you to try it for yourself. Visit caraway.com/carpool to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit caraway.com/carpool or use code carpool at checkout. Caraway non-toxic cookware made modern.
Okay, ready for industry news where I spill the hot tea going on in the auto industry?
I sure am.
Okay, first up, this is a story from Edmunds, the 2025 Audi Q7 SQ7 first look.
Oh.
This is the second major refresh for the Q7 since 2017. It gets the Audi Q7 has been refreshed again. It gets some new looks and a few new tech goodies, but that's it. They're already on the way to the U.S. dealerships. Oh, I chose this article is because I thought it was interesting because in the article, they say the typical life cycle of an SUV is about 7 or 8 years long, and a refresh comes right in the middle to keep things refreshing and interesting. So we'd expect a redesign about now, but instead Audi has given the Q7 yet another facelift. So anyway, I just do think that's interesting, their choice to not do a redesign. And I kind of wanted to get your take on, like, I mean, do you think a refresh, well, they should be doing a refresh? Do you think, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it? Do you think some brands do? I mean, we know some brands do refreshes way too often.
I think that when you do a rebrand too often, then when it comes out, I'm just like not as excited for it. Like, you can't, obviously Expedition's like your favorite car, so like you are on the edge of your seat for the Expedition redesign, but also it hasn't been super redesigned in the last few years. So it's like a bigger headline.
Yeah.
Whereas if they're like, oh, we're redoing the Kia Telluride, I'd be like, okay, like you do it, you always are, like you're always doing something. So I'm actually I'm good with it, and I think it's like better for your consumer, not the consumer that's about to buy, but the consumer that already bought. Like, I feel bad sometimes when people buy the 23 model and then the 24 comes out and they're like, oh well, I should have waited for that, but then it's like you don't know what's going to come out. So like I kind of appreciate a brand like coming out with a redesign, making a good intentional redesign, and then like sitting with it. Like, be proud of the work you've done and sit with it for a couple of years.
Yeah. I do think, because I think this is something people don't know about cars, that they don't get updates every single year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of people in my consultations or just like in my DMs who are always like, oh, well, I'm going to wait for the 2025s. I'm like, well, don't, because nothing's new. Like nothing. Sometimes it's a refresh. Sometimes it's literally nothing.
Yeah.
And you've just got to know. And that's why we also always get like, you know, criticisms or not criticisms, but requests to do more used cars. And we try to do as many used cars as makes sense. But also we're really intentional about when we do, like when I'm reviewing a car, I'm reviewing the body style.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you notice, even if you go watch like my 23 Telluride video, you know, I may glaze over the upgrades that they did from 23 to 22, but that's not what my videos are about. There's other reviewers who like, they're picking apart like, now this wheel's available, now this is available. That's not my specialty. I'm looking at the functionality, and the functionality from a Telluride between 2020 and 2025, it's the exact same because the body style hasn't changed.
Yeah. So, and just like, let that be known. Like if you are shopping for a car, 100% you need to watch the tours that Kelly has done on that car, but I would also encourage you to go look at other car reviewers who are going to give you a more in-depth look on, like Kelly said, upgrades and even more specific down to trim level. Like, we're there for functionality, and like that's the purpose that we're trying to serve.
Totally.
So
I totally agree. And just know the generations.
Yeah.
And but I think also be aware of when they're changing, because and a lot, I mean, if you Google it, like, you should be able to find out, like, when expected redesigns are happening. But then this thing comes out and people are like, oh, I need to see what, you know, what the refresh is going to look like for 25. And it's nothing. And, like, you should have just bought the 24 when it was on sale.
Mm.
Okay, I'm done with that story. Okay, next, speaking of redesigns, the 2025 Toyota 4Runner teased again ahead of debut on April 9th.
Ooh. Wait, that's coming up.
Is it already? Yeah, it is. It's Tyler's birthday, April 9th. Toyota not only confirms the next-gen 4Runner's reveal date, but it also shows how the SUV will retain its power rear window. Toyota is having a moment.
They are going back to their roots.
They are, and they are. Everyone's getting a redesign. We've got Land Cruiser. We've got Grand Highlander. We've got now the new 4Runner. And it says, they previously spied camouflage version of the new midsize SUV, and Toyota has also already teased its new rear end. So, I mean, this is like super tease.
Yeah.
But it looks good. It looks good and it looks fresh. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the new Land Cruiser is great. I think the Grand Highlander is great. I think Toyota's really kind of stepping up their exteriors.
No, the exteriors are looking great. I will be so curious to see the interior, though, because I think 4Runners as is are good looking cars. Like,
totally.
I like the exterior look of the 4Runner. I don't think that they're, I think their interior and their like family functionalities maybe where they're like lacking a little bit. So I would love to see how that is upgraded.
It looks like it's the same one that's found like in the Sequoia and all of that. But I don't always like need Toyota to have the best infotainment system. And I really don't. I still go back and forth because sometimes I'm like, I don't really care what your infotainment system looks like because I'm an Apple CarPlay girl.
Oh, no, I don't mean infotainment. I mean like family functionality.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be like a winner chicken dinner. I mean, I would love to see like a big old bench seat in there because the current 4Runner, it's not, you can't even hardly do 3 across.
That's
it's
what I'm saying. Garbage. Like the interiors where they're.
This was their caption. The power rear window is kind of our thing, a wink face. Hashtag let's go places. Obsessed.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's fun for someone.
And it's like happens to be in Carmon Blue. Like, are you joshing?
They always are.
Doug DeMiro, one time I was watching one of his videos and he said that he like buys a lot of cars because like it's kind of his thing. And he always likes to buy the color of like their like test video or like their release video.
So release he can car. Use why? So he can use
I don't know, video? Just because like that's the color like they're that putting they're out. Like
excited
that's,
about.
That's the one they're excited about. Okay, next and final story. Just kind of like another like, you know, things are happening. Let's talk about it. Keeping our hand on the pulse. Mm-hmm. Ford. EVs and hybrids drive Q1 gain as F-Series Ranger slip. This was interesting. Ford Motor Company U.S. light vehicle sales rose 6.8% the first 3 months of the year, driven by a quarterly record for hybrid deliveries and a strong performance by its Lincoln luxury brand.
Mm.
Here's the thing. We got to get our hands on some Lincolns.
Yeah, we do.
Russ Flips Whips. You can find him on Instagram. He does all those like funny car skits. You've seen his videos.
Okay. Yeah.
But he also sells Lincolns and he's like posting these Lincolns and I'm like, that's the best Lincoln car I've ever
They're
seen.
Really, the Lincoln Navigator at the Car Mom Auto Show last year was the belle of the freaking ball.
It was the belle of the
every. She was in a fantastic blue color. Like, she was beautiful, but everyone gravitated towards her.
There's something
like you want to be the Lincoln Navigator when you walk in a room.
No, she was the belle of the ball.
She was.
And I'm telling you, I saw like a Lincoln. I drove a Lincoln Corsair as my press car. And I was like, this is so nice.
Yeah.
Lincoln's kind of, I think like they're on the up.
Yeah. They're very good looking.
They're very good looking. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it says the automaker sold 508,000 vehicles in the first quarter, including a record 38,000 hybrids, up 42%.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
42% is significant.
I know. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I lost my story. Hold on. Gotta find it. Electric vehicle sales jumped 86% from the same period in 2023. Sales of the Mustang Mach-E, which have been strong since Ford made hefty price cuts to the outgoing 23 models in February, rose 77%, and the F-150 Lightning sales climbed 80% in the quarter despite a stop ship on all 2024s. So it's all coming up Ford, and Ford just doing their good EVs and pricing them. Like, they're doing some major price cuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just kind of excited for them.
No, I am too. I mean, sounds like it's working out in their favor.
Yeah.
77% increase, 80% increase.
Did we talk? Yeah, we talked about the Ford Explorer updates.
I don't know if you talked about them on the podcast.
Well, there's a tour. Stunning.
Saw it at the auto show.
Stunning. Good upgrades.
Good upgrades.
And it's also like a mid-cycle refresh, but it actually has a whole new interior. Mm-hmm. I'd rather them update the interior than the exterior. I like an updated, like, yeah. I didn't touch their interior.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I just seem to always have more to say about the interiors.
Yeah. No, the Explorer was good. It had some good standard features. Standard power tailgate. Standard.
Yeah.
What was it? Do they have standard heated seats? I don't know.
I think so.
I think so too.
But okay, are you ready for Ditch the Drive-Thru, where I share an easy dinner recipe to mix it up to get you out of your dinner rut? Okay. I have so much to say on this topic. Truly so much to say. So mom sent me home with a ham on Easter.
Okay.
And we've talked about this in the past. It's like, let's get back to our roots and let's like what's in the season? Like, let's cook with like the food that's happening. Mm-hmm. And not that I think like ham is in season like one time or the other because it's a ham, but it's like ham is Easter. So it's like I'm going to have Easter ham leftovers.
Okay. So be prepared for your Easter ham leftovers.
So I don't know. I could have just been like, oh, I don't know. We'll just like put it on sandwiches or like do the crescent roll things. But I'm like, no, what can I make with ham? Because I have this beautiful ham and I like want to like, I want to respect her and appreciate her for what she is. And I want to bring out the ham.
Okay. Bring on the ham.
So I started Pinteresting ham recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like ham, like soups with ham came across my desk.
Which I never would have gone there.
I would have never gone there. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of a ham and bean soup before, but I don't know, you guys. Something about just ham and beans didn't quite sound.
Like you were doing the ham justice.
Like comforting enough.
Yeah.
And then I stumbled across this ham and potato soup recipe. It was so easy to make. It was just, I saved the recipe to my highlights on Instagram. It's not my recipe, but I adjusted it a little bit. Mainly because like I doubled it. They're like, chop one giant carrot. And I'm like, one carrot? I'm using a whole bag.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just onion, carrot, celery, potatoes, peeled and diced. Use my veggie chopper. Nothing Love makes it. You feel like you're more on top of the world than a veggie chopper. And then...
That's a little small for potato chunks.
It wasn't.
It was the Mm-mm. good size.
Okay. I liked it. I liked everything fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Because the potatoes then kind of like, then you added like milk and flour. So then everything just got kind of chowdery.
Okay.
It was, we killed a crock pot in one night, my whole family.
That's awesome.
I mean, granted, there's five of us who are all eating now. And like my kids loved it. I have extra ham. I'm making it again tonight.
Love it.
And I bought, Naptime Kitchen talks about them. Those freezer soup cubes.
Yes.
I would love to start you're not a soup person. I think you would like the soup though. It was very satisfying.
Okay, maybe I would. You offered me some and I just think it was like not the day in my pregnancy to accept it.
Well, you're not always in a headspace to accept soup.
No.
And soup kind of has to be accumulated by the vibes, but I want to try to eat more soup because it's such easy meal prep. It's such good leftovers. It freezes so well. And it's like such a good way to get veggies into my children.
Yeah, such a good way to get veggies in.
And they're all soft. Like I also like love doing that because it's soft enough for Fred. It'd be soft enough for James even. Yes, like,
yeah.
And it was just delectable. So get you a ham and potato soup for supper.
Okay. Here for it.
Okay, ready for our book club?
I am so ready for our book club.
Okay, you guys. So this is our book club where we're not consistent and we don't hardly do it. And... we are who we are, but I'm ready to sign up for another one with you.
I don't know if I'm ready to sign up for another one with you.
That's fine. I just have Audible credits to burn. It just feels like if I'm going to burn an Audible credit, why don't we just read the same book? And then if we both read it, then we'll announce it as a podcast book club book.
Okay. Well, it depends on what book you want to read, but let's get to my book. I picked the book Boys on the Boat, Boys and the Boat, Boys on the Boat,
Boys in the Boat,
Boys in the Boat. By who? Who's it by? Daniel James Brown. It is about the 1936 Olympic rowing team. Who's just a ragtag freaking group of boys from Washington University. And they go and they become the champions of the Berlin Olympics during Nazi Germany, which is wild to hear about.
Okay, so... and it's also a movie. So we can talk about the difference between the book and the movie at the end.
Yeah.
But if you're just like, oh, that's an interesting story, I'd like to know more about it. The movie's a great rent. And it's not the book. I hate to be the girl who's like, the book was better. But the book told way more of the story.
Of course.
Than what the movie did. But you can rent it $3.99 on Amazon. It's a good like movie to watch with the husband. Like, I love a sports movie. I think
I love a sports movie.
And the thing is, like, Tyler likes war movies, and I can't handle war movies. But war movies and sports movies kind of like have the same arcs where it's like tough time. I mean, I know this sounds insane, but like I just can't handle the gore of a war movie.
No, I get it.
But like sports movies kind of like check the boxes. Like they feel similar.
Okay.
So anyway, it's a good one to rent with the husband. I think my biggest takeaway from this is like I kind of like reading about history.
The thing with the book is that it gives so much detail, painstaking detail sometimes, where sometimes I was really into it and there were other times where I was like, okay, I'm kind of bored. When I finished the book, though, I was so happy to have listened to it. I learned so much. I really have never read a book about any time period of the Great Depression. Like, I thought that was so interesting. Just like a good reminder of like where we've come from and like where our country was at one time. And just like, wow, we have so much. And people who are literally still alive today at one point in their life had so little.
And it's kind of like that, you know, when you hear people who were alive during the Great Depression now, like they're old. Yeah. So it's like, but seeing and hearing those people like in the prime of their life, mm-hmm. living through that,
yeah,
was like, no, it sounds tough.
No, it sounds really tough. But like Maddie always says this, and I love this, but hard times breed strong men. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was like so apparent in this, because when you hear about just like how hard Joe's life was and how heartbreaking Joe's life was and how that literally could never happen today because like no child is just left and like living on their own like he literally was, and I don't, you know, ever wish for that to happen to anyone, but it made him into like a very strong, capable, responsible man because of the hardship that he endured.
Obsessed with Joe. And I think when we first like started hearing about Joe, I was kind of like waiting for it to hear about like, I kind of wanted to learn about more of the boys in the boat, and we never really got, but I get that. I feel like I didn't really know everyone's stories hardly at all. Like there's some guys whose names I barely would even recognize. I think
that would have been too hard.
I think it would have too, but so my point was, it's like, but once I became so obsessed with Joe, it's like I didn't have any patience for anybody else.
Yes. No, I agree.
Like then it was just like all about
Joe. What's Joe doing? Yeah.
He's such a good character, and like the fact that his character is real, mm-hmm. is just a whole other like level, yes. to it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe like just the childhood that he had. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this BITCH Tula.
Yeah.
What's wrong with her?
So much. How could you do that to a child?
And like he was such a child, and like he was I don't whatever. Like the whole Harry and Tula thing was crazy. Like it was crazy. Yeah. Their whole relationship was crazy. I never understood like why he married, why Fred and Joe's dad married Tula. Just weird.
Yeah.
Weird family dynamics.
Very weird family dynamics.
And then of course, like I think like, you know, then you start to have some sympathy for Tula and is it Harry or Henry?
Harry,
because of just like how they fell on hard times too. And then I'm just thinking of like, oh my gosh, I have young kids and like I'm not living through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And like I'm on the, like I can't hardly survive this.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought like one of the most like bone chilling, just like detail that stuck with me was when they were talking about how Tula's parents were really disappointed in like the way that her life ended up. Mm-hmm. So they would allow their grandchildren, so Tula and Harry's kids, to come to their house every Sunday for one bowl of cream of wheat.
I didn't understand that.
That was just like a detail that was like so so specific and so sad, mm-hmm. that like they like weren't doing it because they liked the kids, but they were doing it because like they wanted to like, I guess, like prove a point or send a message to Tula that like she had messed up.
I don't know why they were doing it. I did not understand that. And just, yeah. like the kids don't understand it. And I just, like, I really hated hearing all of that about just the hardships of, like, the kids in the Great Depression. It was just, like, very, very sad.
Yeah.
But, again, Joe, because of what he went through, like, then he was able to go to school. And he had built up a lot of strength from manual labor. And then there was that one character, I don't remember who it was, but it was like, he also fell on hard times and he had to take a rowboat across like 2 miles every single day so we could like get into town. And then all these guys, so they go to the Washington University School and they can like get a job and like money if they are on the crew team. So it's like a very sought after team to be on, but it's like painstaking, like so grueling. And at this time, like the hottest rowers are like Harvard and like Yale and like all of these like East Coast schools that come from like, and kids that come from like money, because like rowing was like a very prestigious sport. And so then this group of Washington teams, these group of Washington guys, they're just like going on the team to try and make some money and to like, and they're all just like strong men from physical manual labor and just like literal hardships that they had faced in their life, which I just like loved. I loved that. And I love a success story.
And that's what kind of made it, I think, better for me than just, because I'm just like not that big of a sports person. So even though I just, I like sports movies, but like these guys weren't in it for the sport necessarily. Like they were in it to like to survive this time period. One of the most interesting things I thought, which I thought this was like pretty obvious in the book, but like it was even more obvious in the movie, was like how big of a freaking deal rowing was back then. And like, why is it not a big deal anymore?
I know.
Why does no one care anymore?
It's like so big.
And Sydney's, if you don't know our sister Sydney, she rowed for SMU. And like I would go to some regattas and like they're so fun and exciting.
Oh my gosh. My heart is like beating but I'm like, so fast at the regattas.
Where's the rest of the country? It's just like, why? And it's not like we can't still like the other sports, but I just can't believe that like now no one, like I mean I'm gonna watch the Olympics is this summer, like I'm ready to watch. Like Team USA. No,
it's very intense. So the book goes throughout Joe's life. It goes throughout the 3 years that he's at Washington and the races that they have against California and against the East Coast teams. Loved any time there was a race. I just like, I was so invested any time a race was going on.
And the races were written very well.
The races were written very well. I'm just going to, do you have like specific questions or do you want to like move on to when they get to the Olympics or is it their discussion questions?
There's nothing that's like totally popping out. I mean, we could answer the question, but I don't know if we have totally enough historical context, but do you think there should have been a boycott against the Olympics?
I
can't believe it was, I had no idea it was in Germany. That's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's like such an easy thing to say now.
Yeah.
Like, of course it was, it sounded like at the time people weren't fully aware of the severity that was going on. And Germany, the Nazis really made a point to remove any of the things that they
that
were doing.
That was so interesting.
During, like they really put on a show for the Olympics and they made sure that like there was no signs. Like they said like they would have newspapers with like horrible things written about Jews in it, and they were like, they stopped that during the Olympics.
And they like
they
took off
down
signs
that said these things. So it's like they were intentionally trying to fool the world because they knew what they were doing was wrong. So I don't fully know what everyone like knew.
Can I ask you this question though?
Yeah.
Did you know that Bobby Mock was Jewish?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, they said that. Yeah.
Bobby Mock was
he
Jewish.
He didn't know he was Jewish until he was there or until he got back. Like his dad wrote him a letter.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Knowing what he knew about Germany, are you surprised he went? Would you have gone? Why would his father not tell him sooner?
Again, like I don't think that he fully knew. Like I think if he knew that if he went, and I don't even know if this could have happened because he was an American citizen, but like if he would have known that there were Jews being literally murdered by the thousands, like I don't think he would have gone. So that's,
yeah,
like, no, I don't think he would have gone. But like, I think that there was a lot that people didn't know. And there was a lot of rumors circulating.
Yeah, it was eerie to hear.
Yeah.
And it's like, I thought the book did a good job of, I thought the book did a good job. I thought it could have done maybe a slightly better job, or at least like educating someone who doesn't like read a lot of historical books. Like kind of explaining like not because like again because like I kind of have a lucid understanding of what's happening, but I'm like, what did everyone else think was happening? Like I feel like so kind they, of like you're saying, I feel like I didn't really have that like
there were like they were some people were trying to boycott the Olympics. Like there was a part in the book where they talk about some people wanting to boycott the Olympics. and it ultimately didn't happen. But I just think that just like any major issue today, like there is a lot of like there's two truths. Some people are on one side, some people are on the other side. There's misinformation out there. And I don't know, like I just don't know what information was being passed in the newspapers at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the truth of what was happening in Germany at the time. Because otherwise, I think that it would have been no question to not go to Germany this time.
When you look up like, so like this was the 1936 Olympics. Okay, World War II went from 1939 to 1945. And like if you Google the years of the Holocaust, it says it's from 1941 to 1945. So it's also like this was, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not.
Wait. What were the years of?
So this was the 1936 Olympics.
I got that.
World War II was 1939 to 1945.
Okay.
The Holocaust on Google is listed as 1941 to 1945.
But I don't know what is considered the Holocaust.
No, because they were saying in the book that like Jews were being like shipped to like farm camps and like.
Yes,
and,
like it was a, it all was sorts a very, of horrible like, they things. Had to like wear the star on them. Like there was a lot of. There was a lot that happened before literal like death camps, like a lot. It was a lot led up before that. So yeah. I don't know like what's considered
right
the actual start. So but yeah. So they go to the Olympics.
Yeah. So they go to the Olympics.
Against all odds, the Washington team goes. And this was just the craziest story. So there's a boat of eight boys, and then they have the coxswain. The guy number one, he determines the stroke, and that was Don.
Yeah.
Don gets sick on the boat, like horribly sick. He's sick during their entire time in Germany, and he still goes and performs in the Olympics.
I know, like the book could have been a little bit more about Don, like now knowing how like pivotal like his role was, not only in the boat but like during that last run. I could have used a little bit more Don backstory.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he was just kind of...
Based on the movie, I don't think he was like a super interesting character. I just think he was like a freaking workhorse of a man.
Yeah.
And like just a total stud rower. So the U.S. just like kills it during their pre-trials. And their pre-trials determine where they're going to land, if they're going to make it to like the finals. Last minute, they decide, even though the U.S. reported like the best time, the last minute they decide to put, which means they should have got the favored lane. The U.S. gets the worst lane.
The worst lane.
So they're already, they said, I think they said that it was like two, they had a two stroke handicap or two. It was something significant, like two. I don't know all of the measurements when they'd be like.
Well, and didn't they say like they typically never do that many lanes?
No, they said that typically the people who were the fastest ones get the preferred lanes.
Oh, I see.
So I thought just the coolest part of the book was that last Olympic race where yeah. the U.S. team, they are in a handicapped lane. They don't hear the buzzer that says start. So they go off to a late start. They're trying to catch up. Their stroke, who again determines on how fast you're going, is just horribly ill. And then when Bobby Mock, the coxswain, says, "All right, Don, time to pick it up." Don's face goes white. His mouth opens up and his eyes are shut and his body is still moving. He just like he's not there.
And how crazy
but
for...
But his body's still keeping stroke.
How crazy for Bobby? Because like... he was the one seeing it. Like no one else could see that.
Yeah.
And he's probably like, oh my gosh.
He's like, what do I do? So eventually, and they say in the book, like he was about to pass a stroke off to Joe, who was second. And he's like, I have no idea what that will do to the boat. Because everyone has to move in the most precise way. Don wakes up and then starts going faster. And they somehow win the freaking Olympics next to these other teams who heard the start, didn't have a handicap lane. Everyone was in perfect condition.
I know.
And somehow the American team still pulled through.
It was such a good race. And honestly, the movie didn't do the race
justice. The movie did not do the race. Like, my heart is pounding just talking about it because it was so unbelievable. My jaw dropped when they said that Don was like not there.
And it was one of those things where it's like, I knew they won, but it felt like I was reading like fiction. Like I thought like
yeah,
some like magical thing was going to happen and fix him. I was just like, how is this? I don't know. I say my advice. I think they should have like found some more stories about Don, because like I just need to know more about Don.
It was incredible. So I ended the book feeling so pumped, feeling so satisfied. The start was slow, and there were certainly parts of the book that were slow, and then there were other parts of the book, especially the races, that had me just going and like cheering.
Yeah.
So I would recommend the book. Because I think it's how the book leaves you in the end. And I was left very satisfied.
I feel like, and again, this could also be a little bit of like this was definitely a more, I hate to use the word advanced, but like this was a big book for, this is like,
yeah. No, I get it.
Like this was a big girl book and there was a lot of characters. And I think some of the, I guess I like don't want to say I wanted like less of the coaches, but like those were just like more names that were kind of getting like,
it's hard when you listen to it to like understand all the names.
And I didn't need all of the like, I know that it's part of the story, but you don't need every part of the story. Like I didn't need to hear about all like the Cal of it all. Like I didn't need all that. Like that just really started to kind of confuse me, and I could have like used more like Joyce.
Yeah, you wanted the love story.
Well, I could have used more of Don's backstory. Like I just wanted more people that I cared about, and like I just you can't catch me caring about the Cal team.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And their coach. Like I just didn't care.
I get that.
But I loved reading a book about American history.
Me too.
I love the Olympics.
Me too.
I love just men doing, I love boys being men.
Love boys being men.
And do you want to talk about like some more things about the movie that we thought?
Yeah, I mean, the movie was good, but I had to like pause it to tell Maddie in the middle of that race scene. I was like, this is not showing it. This is what happened. Like, again, I hate to be that person that's like the book is like so much better, but like it's inevitable. But they sped the movie up, so instead of being their third year, they were like, oh, these freshmen just came in and now they're going to the Olympics. And yeah, I mean, it was just fast. You miss a lot of like Joe's backstory, and I think you kind of miss like,
and George. Like I did like George Polcock.
Oh.
He had a cool story.
But you know, that's what you get. But at the end of the day, like it still showed that they were like a ragtag team of guys going through the Great Depression, can't afford much, and they make it to the Olympics and
yeah,
they win.
I think this was like truly like outside of like Twilight, like the first time I've like read a book that became a movie. No, I guess Crawdads. I read, okay, yeah, Crawdads. I'm well read. I take it back.
Yeah. And what's that one book that we read? They made an apple.
Oh, what was that stupid
Jennifer Garner's
book
in it.
I hated that.
I know, I didn't like that book.
Like it was something like stupid, like Lies He Told Me or something.
The Last Thing He Told Me.
Yeah, that was a dumb book. That was a stupid book.
Yeah, I didn't like that book.
Yeah, this book, I feel like I can bring things to the conversation. I'm excited to watch the Olympics this year. I know more things about the Holocaust and the Great Depression.
I'm like so proud of Sydney for being a rower.
So proud.
Because like such a hard thing to do.
I'm sorry, I could have used less details about the mechanics of rowing.
I thought it helped understand the intensity of the sport.
No, I get it. Yeah. I just know a lot. I just can't believe how much I know about like stroke rate and crabs and 35. And like, I just know a lot of things.
But I think that helped you like during the race, you're like, oh my gosh, they went up to 40.
I couldn't believe they went up to 40.
They've never been up to 40. Like, it helps you understand
I see what you're saying.
It was good. I'd recommend it. And guys, that is our podcast. So if you made it this far, thank you for listening. And we will talk to you next time. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly and Liz. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed riding with us, tell everybody you know. There's room in the car for everyone.